Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
All right, good morning, everyone. 6 a.m. soap. How you feeling? You're ready? Joshua 13 is a really kind of a pivotal chapter in this Israel conquest of the promised land. So I'm going to pray and we're going to get right into it. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time so that we can wake up and start our day in your word, Jesus. I pray that, Father, that during this time that we would hear you speaking, Lord God, that you would be, it would be you revealing new things to us, Jesus. We thank you for this time. We praise you. We love you. Amen and amen. All right. Joshua 13, and I am reading from the New King James Version. Now Joshua was old, advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, "You are old, advanced in years, and there remains very much land yet to possess. This is the land that yet remains, all the territory of the Philistines and all that of the Geshurites from Sihor, which is east of Egypt, as far as the border of Ekron northward, which is counted as Canaanite, the five lords of the Philistines, the Gazites, the Ashdodites, the Ashkelonites, the Gittites, and the Ekronites, also the Avites from the south, all the land of the Canaanites, and Mira that belongs to the Sidonians as far as Aphek, to the border of the Amorites, the land of the Gebalites, and all Lebanon toward the sunrise, from Baal Gad below Mount Hermon as far as the entrance to Hamath. All the inhabitants of the mountains from Lebanon as far as the brook Misrephoth and all the Sidonians, them I will drive out from before the land of Israel, only divide it by lot to Israel as an inheritance, as I have commanded you. Now therefore divide this land as an inheritance to the nine tribes and half the tribe of Manasseh." Verse 8, "With the other half tribe of the Reubenites and the Gadites receive their inheritance, which Moses had given them, beyond the Jordan eastward, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had given them, from Aroer, which is on the bank of the river Arnon, and the town that is in the midst of the ravine, and all the plain of Medeba as far as Divon, all the cities of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon as far as the border of the children of Ammon, Gilead, and the border of the Geshurites and Machathites, all Mount Hermon, and all Bashan as far as Salcah, all the kingdom of Og and Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth and Edrei, who remained on the remnant of the giants, for Moses had defeated and cast out these. Nevertheless, the children of Israel did not drive out the Geshurites or the Machathites, but the Geshurites and the Machathites dwell among the Israelites until this day. Only the tribe of Levi he had given no inheritance. The sacrifices of the Lord of Israel made by fire are their inheritance, as he said to them. And Moses had given to the tribe of the children of Reuben an inheritance according to their families. Their territory was from Aroer, which is on the bank of the river Arnon, and the city that is in the midst of the ravine, and all the plain of Medeba, Heshbon, and all its cities that are on the plain, Dibon, Bamoth Baal, Beth Baal, Maam, Jahaza, Kedemoth, Mephath, Kirjatham, Sibma, Zereth Shahar on the mountain in the valley, Beth Peor, the slopes of Pisgah, and Beth Jeshimoth, all the cities of the plain, and all the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon, whom Moses had struck with the princes of Midian, Evi, Rechem, Zur, Hur, and Reba, who were princes of Sihon dwelling in the country. The children of Israel also killed with the sword Balaam, the son of Beor, the soothsayer, among those who were killed by them. And the border of the children of Reuben, which was the bank of the Jordan. This was the inheritance of the children of Reuben according to their families, the cities and their villages. Verse 24, Moses had also given inheritance to the tribe of Gad, to the children of Gad according to their families. Their territory was Jazer, and all the cities of Gilead, and half the land of the Ammonites as far as Aroer, which is before Rabbah, and from Heshbon to Ramath Mizpah and Betsanim, and from Mahanaim to the border of Debir, and the valley of Beth Haram, Beth Nimrah, Succoth, and Zaphon, the rest of the kingdom of Sihon, king of Heshbon, with the Jordan as its border, as far as the edge of the Sea of Chinnereth, on the other side of the Jordan eastward. This is the inheritance of the children of Gad, according to their families, the cities, and their villages. Verse 29, Moses had also given inheritance to half the tribe of Manasseh. It was for half the tribe of the children of Manasseh, according to their families. Their territory was from Mahanaim of all Bashan, all the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, and all the towns of Jair, which are in Bashan, 60 cities. Half of Gilead and Ashtaroth and Edrei, cities of the kingdom of Og in Bashan, were for the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, for half of the children of Machir, according to their families. These are the areas which Moses had distributed as inheritance in the plains of Moab on the other side of the Jordan, by Jericho eastward. But to the tribe of Levi, Moses had given no inheritance. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as he had said to them. Amen. Whew. Now that was a tough one. That's right, Doug. All the parasites as well. You can't forget about them. So what we have here is from Joshua 1 to 12, we've had, you know, the Israelites entering into Canaan and a lot of the conquering. We see in chapter 1, I'm just going to give you a brief overview for those who have not been really keeping up with our soaping. Chapter 1, we see that God appoints Joshua as the successor to Moses, and Joshua was told to be strong and courageous, to meditate on God's law and prepare them to cross into the Jordan. Chapter 2, we see that spies are sent to Jericho, and Rahab hides them, but she also expresses her faith in the God of Israel, and she and her family are promised protection. And chapters 3 to 4, we have the crossing of the Jordan, and the priests carry the ark. I talked about that 2 weeks ago. You know, and the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant, they walk into the Jordan, and the river, the water stops, and now they're crossing on dry ground, and they set up stones to memorialize this event. In chapter 5, Israel celebrates Passover in the Promised Land, and this is the point where the manna stops. You know, the Lord had been providing manna for them up to this point, and now it stops, and now they can start eating from the land that they're in. And chapter 6 is the fall of Jericho, and Rahab and her family are saved. Chapter 7, we have the sin of Achan. You know, Israel is just defeated at Ai due to Achan's hidden sin, and this battle should have been easy for the Israelites, and they lost it. Achan is exposed, and he's punished. Then in chapter 8, we have victory at Ai. Moving on, chapter 10, we have the southern campaigns where Israel defeats Gibeon and defeats 5 of the Amorite kings. And chapter 11, we have the northern campaign where they defeat, you know, even more kings. And Hazor, which was a key city, is destroyed. And then in chapter 12, we have a list of 31 kings that were defeated by both Moses and Joshua. And here we are coming in to Joshua 13. And we've already seen God's faithfulness, right? We've seen the importance of the Israelites being faithful and being obedient to the word of the Lord. And then in chapter 13, now we're going to start seeing the land being divided amongst the children of Israel. It's a key note, though, that the entire land is not conquered yet. Right, the major, you know, peoples were conquered, but there was still some fighting left to do. And chapter 1 begins with the Lord telling Joshua, "You are old." Now you imagine, you try and do the work of the Lord, right? And the Lord himself says, "You are old." Right? Joshua, he lives to be about 110 years old. At this point, he's probably between 90 and 95. I don't know about y'all, but when I'm 90 to 95 years old, if the Lord blesses me to be alive that long, I ain't trying to do nothing, right? But even while acknowledging Joshua's advanced years, God still told him that there was work to be done. Even in advanced years, God still has work for his people to do. Do not think, no matter how old that you are, that you do not you still cannot make an impact for the kingdom of God. There is still work that can be done. He says there remains very much land yet to be possessed. This was true of the land west of the Jordan, right? See, so like I had said already, that the main centers of power in Canaan had been defeated, but Israel had to now occupy the land and defeat smaller groups of Canaanite peoples that were going to come against them, right? And by a spiritual analogy, right, what the land was to Israel, Jesus is to us. We, as Christ followers, we need to continually press to possess more of Christ. We need to remain active as we grow in our relationship and reliance on Jesus. What the land was to Israel, Christ is to us. Mapped out in the pages of this book is all the territory which we are to possess. And it's true for every one of us that there's still more that we can possess, more that we can learn. Our inheritance in Christ is not just to have part of Christ, but to have all of Christ. So in whatever way that we feel our divine purpose is, we have to remember and say there is still much land that we need to possess. Come on, someone needs to hear that today. We have never occupied everything that the Lord has intended for us. And why is that? Because we are prone to be satisfied with much less than what is God's will for us. That's hard. That's tough. But somebody needs to hear that today. Do not be satisfied with just what you have right now of the Lord, because he wants to give you so much more. He wants you to know him in a deeper way, an even more intimate way. Do not be satisfied. We need to be continually seeking out the Lord. Verse 2, this is the land that yesterday remained. So what's going to come next is a considerable amount of territory that Israel still had to possess. The major kings had been defeated, but the tribes of Israel had to spread out over Canaan and actually possess the land. And this wasn't going to be easy because there are still Canaanites that are going to fight against Israel. It talks about the territory of the Philistines. The Philistines originally came from a land called Kaftor, which is in modern Crete, which is in Greece, all right? And they were part of a migration of peoples that crossed over the Mediterranean Sea, and they invaded Egypt and Palestine around 1200 BC. Joshua led Israel into Canaan around 1406 BC, and in chapter 13 we're seeing that they're it's around 1400 BC, and they're taking the land, right? The Philistines are going to continue to harass and oppress the Israelites throughout the entire period of the judges and the reign of Saul, until they're going to eventually be subdued by David. But here we're seeing, and this is an example of, these were a peoples that the Israelites had to conquer, but they didn't conquer. They didn't go after it, right? They failed to fully come against the Philistines and remove them from the land. And all and from at this point in scripture, all the way through David, we have the Philistines coming against Israel, right? What's that tell me? That tells me, brothers and sisters, that there may be a stronghold in your life. There may be a sin in your life that you have not been able to conquer because you have not allowed the Holy Spirit to fully take root into your life. And your descendants are going to deal with this. What's generational sin? Generational sin is when someone does not allow the Holy Spirit to fully come and cleanse of the us of that sin. And then our children and our children's children and our children's children's children are dealing with the same nonsense. Israel failed to conquer the Philistines. Right? Now, it's great that we have cool stories like David and Goliath and the Philistines coming down. That's all cool, but can imagine how much more easy it would have been for Israel later down the line if they never had to deal with the Philistines. And so for us as believers, Israel's failure to conquer the land fully anticipates the inability to enjoy the full favor of God's blessing in this life. We're not perfect, right? But we're called to perfect holiness. So we live in this tension between the rewards of life, live fully in the Holy Spirit, which are available here and now, and our own failure, which prevents us from achieving those gifts. Come on, the Lord has placed things in front of us. The Lord wants to be closer to you. The Lord wants to help you conquer that sin, conquer that temptation, right? But if we're just satisfied with where we are, then our children may have to deal with it. Our children's children may have to deal with it. Verse 6 says, "Them I will drive out from before the children of Israel." God promised, "I will drive them out from before the children of Israel." But he intended that each tribe trust God for their portion of the land that was divided and given to them. Just as God was with Joshua in his battles against the major kings of Canaan, so God would be with the tribes as they fought to possess the portions of land that were allotted to them. The Lord reaffirmed his promise to drive out the inhabitants of the land way back in Joshua 3. But from this point on, the further conquest would be the concern of the individual tribes, not the whole mass of people. So the promise was conditional and was never fully completed because Israel was not being obedient. The Lord said, "Take possession of the land." And Israel is going to go to their little allotted land, right? And they're going to allow the peoples to stay to avoid conflict, right? And not fully take possession of the land. The Lord already said, "I will drive them out." But a lot of God's promises are conditional on our actions. Listen, God can do whatever he wants, right? God could have taken all the peoples of Canaan and as Israel's coming in, just like wipe them out, right? And they have nothing to come against them, right? But then Israel wouldn't have learned how to be strong. They wouldn't have learned how to fight. And God says, "I will drive them out, but you got to do your part." God is not a genie, my brothers and sisters. God is not just going to do whatever we want him to do because we want him to do it. That's not how God works. Listen, he's God. He can do whatever he wants. How dare we be so egotistical to think that God's just going to do whatever we want because I pray extra hard. No, sometimes God is like, "You got to do your part. The Lord has placed on my heart that I need to start a business. So Lord, give me a business," right? And the Lord's like, "You ain't take not one business class. If I give you a business, you gonna run that business into the ground." No. How about you get off your tail and you go get some lessons, right? Take and you learn how to do these things, and then God will start to move. Come on, this is so key because we see in the book of Joshua how the Israelites did not obey what the Lord had told them to do. Each tribe was responsible for completely possessing their own land. God emphasized the idea of personal responsibility and initiative. This is not only because this is how things get done, but also because this is how people are blessed in service. People are blessed by personally taking responsibility and initiative and trusting God to do what He has called them to do. In order for the chosen people to be able to completely conquer and possess the land that was being divided among them, they needed to go in and take it. Verse 8, with the other half tribe of the Reubenites and the Gadites receive their inheritance. This passage describes a portion of land given to Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh, right? And this was previously a territory of the king of the Amorites. And this was their inheritance granted them to them by the Lord, right? And so God was the source of their gift of the land, you know? And so God is giving the land to the people. But are they going to possess the land? Or are they just going to just walk in and be like, eh, this is cool, and not fully take it? And there are only two small tribes of people were not replaced by Jewish tribes. Verse 13 says the children of Israel did not drive out the Geshurites and the Maacathites. All right, these two people are significant. The danger was that these people were content with the victories they had already received achieved. The children of Israel that should have gone in and taken this land and conquered these two small peoples, the Israelites, they were happy with what had already happened. We've conquered all this already. Like, why do we got to keep fighting? Right? They failed to realize the full purpose that God had for them. So Geshur seems to have been the Geshurites were absorbed into Israel. David would later marry a princess from Geshur, and she was the mother of his son Absalom in 2 Samuel 3. And if you know the word, Absalom would return to Geshur, and he would use it as a place to plot against his father David in 2 Samuel 13. Now think about this. If you go to 2 Samuel 13, at that point, David is king. He's been king for a while. His son Absalom gets a big head. He wants to, I can be king. Absalom does some shady stuff, and he ends up, removing his father David for a time as king. Right? And it caused a whole lot of turmoil in Israel. There was like a legit civil war, right? But Absalom's, through his mother's line, was part of Geshur. If Israel had conquered Geshur, there wouldn't have been an uprising. There wouldn't have been a rebellion, hundreds of years later with David. The Maacathites may have come from Maacah, which this guy that is mentioned in the book of Genesis, who was a nephew of Abraham, right? And so this is another, peoples that when someone else rebelled against David, he fled and may have taken refuge in one of the cities of these people that were not conquered by Israel. So we're seeing, brothers and sisters, that when we do not fully grasp onto the promises of the Lord, when we do not fully deal with the junk in our lives, our future generations are going to have to deal with it. Our future generations are going to have to handle these things. So whatever it is that's in your life, that's between you and God, it would behoove us to truly do the work, go before the throne of the Lord, ask God to help you deal with these things. Probably means you need to go through a freedom group and deal with the junk in your life. Then maybe you got to go through a soul care group and really get in deep, deep, deep into the weeds. Because I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, if you do not deal with the junk in your life, your children will, your grandchildren will. And you can say, you know what, Pastor Jason, I don't believe that. It's not, okay. I don't know what I'm talking about. Nicole, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just gonna move on, right? Only the tribe of Levi he had given no inheritance. Verse 14, Levi, the priestly tribe, was to receive no allotted land as the other tribes received, right? Instead, the Levites were given certain cities, and this was actually commanded back in the book of Numbers, 35, verses 1 through 8, and it's now being fulfilled. Why? Because the sacrifices of the Lord of Israel made by fire are their inheritance. Instead, the Levites had as their inheritance the offerings that Israel would bring to the Lord. And so as the people would bring their sacrifices to the Levites, they would bring their lambs and their sheep or whatever they're going to sacrifice. And so they would kill the animal, they would sacrifice the animal into the fire, and then a portion of the meat from that animal would go to the Israelites. People would bring grains and vegetables and stuff, and to give to the Lord, grain offerings, and there's tons of offerings and sacrifices according to the Mosaic law. But a portion of that would go to the Levites because the Levites were doing the Lord's work. And then as we move on, we see a bunch of different, half tribe of Manasseh, and given this and given that. But if we go all the way to 33, there's more about the Levites that's really important, right? Because the Levites didn't have their own land. They were divided amongst cities all throughout Israel. But the Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as he has said to them. The tribe of Levi had no land for inheritance, but instead had the sacrifices that Israel brought them. And they also had a greater inheritance than just a sacrifice. God himself was their inheritance. So in this sense, if there's any tribe that we as Christians could be spiritually connected to, it's the tribe of Levi. Because us as believers, we're also called priests, according to 1 Peter 2, verse 5. And we also have a special inheritance in God, according to Ephesians 1:11, Colossians 1:12, and 1 Peter 1:4. The distribution of the land of the tribes and God's special allotment to Levi was all according to what God had said. And it was important for each tribe to be content with and find joy in what God had allotted to them. This was especially true for the Levites, who had the Lord as their inheritance. But remember, not all the tribes fully conquered their land. And as you go on with the scriptures, we're going to see in the Old Testament, these various peoples that were coming up against Israel. It's like, but if you had just conquered them, if you had just done what the Lord said he was going to go before you, and you didn't do it. So Joshua 13, what can we learn, right? Well, the first thing we can learn from verse 1 is that you're never too old to be used by God. Even in his later years, God gave Joshua a task, and that task at that point in his early to mid 90s was to divide the land amongst the people. This reminds us that age is not a barrier to usefulness in God's kingdom. He still gives purpose and assignments, even if we feel past our prime. God finishes what he starts. Though the battles weren't over, God was still at work. He promised to drive out the remaining enemies, showing that his plan unfolds over time, not all at once. God may have a promise on your life, and you've been saying, "Lord, when? Lord, when? Lord, when?" In God's perfect timing. Because here we're seeing that the Israelites are getting the land. The Lord is allotting the land to all the people. Now, this is the land that was promised to their forefather, Abraham, hundreds and hundreds of years prior to this. God told Abraham, "This is the land I'm going to give you to your children and your children's children. Your descendants will be like the sand of the sea and the stars in the sky." Abraham couldn't see it. Abraham may have thought in his lifetime, like, "What? I got one kid." And even that took forever to get that one kid, right? But God promised Abraham. And here we're seeing the fulfillment of that promise. No matter how long it takes, all of God's promises are yes and amen. If he said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. You can put everything on that. We need to live by faith and not by sight. Joshua was told to divide the land even before it was fully conquered. This teaches us to act in faith. Sometimes God calls us to step forward before all the details are clear. And finally, I'm going to end with this. The Lord is our inheritance. The Levites received no land because their portion was God Himself. Our true treasure, brothers and sisters, is not material. It's our relationship with the Lord. So come on, press into him, brothers and sisters. Go after him. Do not be satisfied with where you're at. I don't care how saintly and holy you think you are. I don't care if you believe that you walk on water and you're sinned, because listen, there are people in the church. Amen. There are some people. There are still more that you can learn from the Lord. There is still a deeper level that you can get into Jesus Christ. You just have to go after it. The Lord has made promises in our lives. If you don't know what your promise is, well, then listen, you need to open up this book. Open up this book every once in a while and truly read it and see what the promises of the Lord are. And even if you don't see it right now, you don't see it next week, next month, next year, next 10 years, God's promises are still true, because maybe that promise isn't for you. Maybe it's for your children. Maybe it's for your children's children. You don't know, but it's your job to go after that promise. It's your job to conquer and get more of what the Lord has for you. Do not be satisfied with where you are. Do not be content with where you are. We should strive to always want to be closer to Jesus Christ. Listen, when all of us, I'm gonna say all of us, not all of us are married, not all of us are in a relationship, but all of us at some point has had somebody you were trying to get close with. You know what I'm saying? And what did you do? Did you have one phone call and then you're like, okay, I know everything about them? No, you pursued them. You went after them. You were on the phone at night. You hang up. No, you hang up. You hang up. You were always trying to be with them. You're always trying to talk to them. That's old school, right? This is a old school, phone with the cord that went across the house. Okay, some of you young folk, I don't know how y'all do it now. You probably have your phone just resting on your chest. I don't know. I don't know what you do, but you were pursuing this relationship. If you are not pursuing a deeper relationship with Jesus, come on. You're losing out. You are losing out because he wants more of you. He wants to be closer to you. He wants to reveal new things to you, new truths to you. And he promises he'll do it, but we still got to do our part. Just like he promised Israel, I'm going to conquer the land, but they still had to go forward and take possession of it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, Jesus. Thank you for this time that we get to spend together. That we can just open up your word, Father, and just glean new revelations, new truths, Father. Father, thank you for my brothers and sisters on this call, everyone listening later on, Lord God. I pray that you would just continue to speak to them. Father, what are those areas in their lives that they need to conquer, Lord? Those areas that they can only conquer with you, Father, I pray that you would just reveal that to them, Lord God. And I pray that they would have the strength to go after it, Father. Be with us throughout the rest of our day, Father. We love you. We praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, brothers and sisters, I love y'all. And I will see you in a couple weeks. God bless.